You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What's going on, Jermaine Johnson? Tune in to Turn on the Jets podcast.
Hey, this is Vinny Pasquantino of the Kansas City Royals. Make sure you tune into the Turn on the Jets podcast.
Everybody, welcome back to the Turn on the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPod11 on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Special Wednesday episode, middle of May. Of course, there's some controversy with the Jets, and schedule just came out. They got Aaron Rodgers, and as much as everything's going good, there's still the Quinnen Williams situation. No better person to be joined by than good friend of mine and in the show, Kyle Brandt, host of Kyle Brandt's Basement. Good morning, football. The list goes on. Kyle, how are we doing, man?
I'm doing great. It's good to see you. It's good to talk to you. It's not good to start the show with a lie by you saying there's no better person to talk to. There's several better people to talk to, but I said yes, and so I'm here. Let's talk about whatever you want, man.
That's fair. We'll roll with that. Let's just start with Rodgers here, because you've seen this. He's been on your podcast before, yeah. And he's an interesting guy, I think. The more people are starting to see him in a bigger market, that a lot of it's more just like he has opinions on stuff and it's well thought out, and whether you like it or not, he's not afraid to tell you. I guess let's start just from the beginning of how is he going to fit in New York? Are you impressed so far? Is it too early to tell? What's the vibe? Because you live in New York, Green Bay and New York are different places, whether people want to admit it or not.
Listen, I have put my hand up and do something that you're never supposed to do. And what we do is say I was dead wrong on something. I just never thought it was going to happen. And having nothing to do with Rodgers or Saleh or even the Packers or anything, I just had a hard time wrapping my mind around this hippie from Chico moving to North Jersey. I just couldn't see it. I'm like, does he really want that kind of life change at 39 years old with generational wealth? Like, why? The football's great, and you know, receivers and coaches and Hackett, it's all great. Dude, he's 40 and he's gonna move to a place where he has never lived, a climate which he has never experienced. Wisconsin's totally different, a lifestyle, a type of person, the way people drive, the way people eat. It's just a lot. And listen, I've lived in California for years. I got that check. I spent all my summers as a child growing up in Wisconsin, northern Wisconsin. I know that area really well. It's probably my favorite state in the country. And now I live in New York, and I went to college in New Jersey. So I have taken the whole journey. It is not subtle when you move here, and the contrast and the sharpness and like just the way people talk to you. So listen, I'm in different shoes, wildly different ones than Rodgers. I just never thought it was going to happen. I thought he's like, I think I'm always going to be a Packer, or I'm just done, or, you know, maybe I'll do something crazy and join the Niners and just kind of go home. I cannot believe still when they shot that video of him walking into the facility, I was like, what the hell is this? It's real. I still kind of can't believe it. And it's true, man. It's gotta be like, you put in the time, Will, like, yeah. Not only on this show, but really your life. Like, kind of waiting for this. Does it feel like it's here, or are you nervous? How do you feel?
So Rodgers has been my favorite quarterback to watch play the last 15, 20 years. He's like the guy of, if you're a big LeBron fan or Kobe, like he was the, you know, LeBron to someone's Kobe or MJ, yeah. Where like, if you didn't think Brady was the GOAT, you thought Rodgers or Peyton. I have always been a huge Rodgers guy. I find him highly entertaining. Do I agree all the time with him? No, but that doesn't mean I'm not intrigued by what he has to say. I like listening to him talk. I like watching him throw the football. I never thought I'd see a day where he was not only not a Packer, but he was a Jet. And then on top of that, the Jets are in a window where the whole rest of the roster is kind of ready to win a title. And it was like, wait a second, we're going to get Aaron Rodgers and he's coming in like hot, ready to prove everyone wrong. It's not just, it felt like there were so many variables that wouldn't have matched up. And the fact that they all have, whether it works or not, I have no idea, but it's going to be a lot of fun. And that's I think that's where I think it lands. And that's where I guess I wanted to kind of go next is you know, obviously you mentioned you've lived in a lot of the same places as Rodgers and you have Josh Allen on your show every week.
Yeah.
You are around Jason McCourty, who played in Miami and has ties to the Dolphins, ties to the Patriots. This division's nuts. Do you think this is a good spot for him to end up landing? Because the NFC North, as much as I know you love your Bears and everyone could love Kirk, he owns that division. And it just, this is going to be probably his biggest challenge. I feel like he's ready for it, though, no? I mean, this seems like right up his alley to end of your career, go prove something.
Well, maybe this is corny, but I think you get to, how many times can you just beat the crap out of the Bears? Like, how many times? He's done it for like about 15, 16 years. He goes in there, he does that, and he almost always beats the Lions. And then he kind of has like this spirited thing going with the Vikings. It's got to get a little old. I mean it. And you look at like at Buffalo and New England and everything he's got going on in Miami. It's like, it's sure it's difficult, but it's just so fresh, man. And I'm much closer in age to Rodgers than you are. I'm telling you, anything that's just new, even if it's like, man, I've always drank this beer, but I'm just switching to this one. Like, how do you feel like you're on top of the world? Or you get a new car, or you switch from a regular car to an SUV or vice versa. I think he needs a challenge. And someone could say, yeah, well, he never wins a Super Bowl. I know, but the playoffs are the playoffs, whatever. He's always dominating that conference or that division. So I think he needs the challenge. And look, well, they could go 7-9 next year. I don't know. I have no idea. Like I know as well as you do, they have good players and they played pretty well last year, but like, there's no lock in the AFC. What's fun about the AFC is that like, there are some teams and some quarterbacks who we really like and who we think are going to do big things. And they're going to just be like 6-11 next year. They have hugely disappointing seasons. Like someone is going to be this year's Broncos. You can't all have good records. You can't all get the division around the title game. So listen, you start looking at teams like even teams that were just, they're locks, like the Bengals. Like they've had a lot to sustain over a couple of years. And the Dolphins, this Tua get hurt and this just falls apart and they're 4-13. There's going to be someone who were like, holy crap, we thought that team was great. And oh my God, Baltimore went 7-9. It just didn't work, or 7-10. I don't think it's going to be the Jets, though. I really don't.
Yeah, and look, I think you made a good point there. And as good as these quarterbacks are in this conference, we do this all the time. We look at the schedule. We look at, you know, all these acquisitions and free agency, which most of them never work. And these draft picks where we overhype guys. The Jets got really lucky last year. And I know it's a lot of hard work and part of drafting is luck. You don't get three blue chip guys in your first, you know, three of your first four. That doesn't happen. And that's why I think as cool as it was, that should not be the expectation for all these teams. That's what ends up like Dalton Kincaid might be really good for the Bills. There's also a really good chance he sucks because that's the way the draft works. And I'm not picking the Bills to win or lose because they drafted a tight end who they already have a tight end that's pretty good. But yeah, look, these quarterbacks, it's, I don't know. Lamar hasn't been healthy in a long time, right? He's always missing time. Tua misses time every year. Deshaun Watson looked atrocious last year, and I don't know if he's ever going to get it back. We don't know, right? And I missed the year with injury during football, and the year coming off it, I was terrible because you're out of the game for so long. The Jets roster and kind of with Rodgers and this Hackett thing, I guess I'm trying to think of the best way I could phrase this.
Go on.
Do you actually buy Hackett is like going to help this team, or is it just like his help was literally, I'm Aaron Rodgers' drinking buddy and I know how to call red zone plays and that's really all I need to be for them to be good? Because like offensive coordinators get overblown a little bit, but at the same time, Jets offensive has kind of sucked for 15 years.
Yeah. And last year, the Broncos offense sucked. But really bad. They were like that Broncos offense was the Rodgers offense from the years prior. That thing that Russell was struggling in and it just didn't work. And maybe it's because Hack was a head coach, but I know that for a fact. I've talked to guys involved who, when Russ was just bottoming out last year and he was like the biggest story in the league and how bad he was, it was like, that's the Rodgers offense. You know that, right? It's just the same throws. It's the same routes. And he just can't do it. It's not his skill set. I think Rodgers was like rejoicing in that privately. I don't know, but I think it will work on the field too. And I think, like, I'll just go back to that. Rodgers can be so eccentric, and he's 39 years old. He's one of the oldest players in the league. Like, I'm going to make a pop culture comparison. I got to talk to Paul Rudd once, okay? Paul Rudd, Ant-Man, you, everybody knows who he is. Huge Chiefs fan. And I was like, dude, how come you're not on social media? Like, everybody is. You're like, I think you're the only Avenger that has no Instagram or no Twitter or anything. And he goes, look, man, at this point in my career, I just want to go to work and just say, just tell me where to stand. Like, I don't want to work extra. I want to do the minimum amount I can do to fulfill my contract. Just tell me where to stand. So I think Rodgers has a little bit of that in the sense that, like, just make me comfortable. I want my damn guys. I'm almost 40. I'm playing with teammates who are 22. I want Randall Cobb there. I do. I don't care. He's my guy. I want Lazard. He's already here. I want to have all these guys if I could, and I want Hackett. Hackett's one of my favorite coaches I've ever played with, and the fact that he's sitting there, yeah, it's a huge deal. I think it's going to help on the offense, but I just go to work every day, and I'm not always in the best mood, and when I see Nate, it makes me happy. So I think it is an investment in him for sure.
Yeah, no, I think it's not coincidental the Johnson & Johnson vaccine was eradicated. Rodgers here for a week.
Look at you.
I know, we're right on top of it, but I wanted to ask you one quick schedule question, then we get into a couple other things. We talked last year, or maybe it was 2 years. I don't remember when it was, a year, 2 years ago, whatever. I'm pretty sure it was pretty similar time of year. Schedule had just come out, and you're like, all I look at is the quarterbacks. You obviously had Josh Allen on the show. Yeah. You guys talked about it on Good Morning Football, I think maybe Friday last week or Monday. I know week one is such a – we do this shit every year. We're like, oh, my God, week one, this team sucks. This team's good. Yeah. If we remember 2 years ago, the Packers got blown out in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. In a weird hurricane game, they won 13 in the next 15.
Yep.
How big is week one, though? Because I feel like this matchup does matter. And like, there's certain games that actually matter. And this is one of those. The Jets win. They're two games up on Buffalo. Mm-hmm. And they just beat the best rival. Or if they lose, it's like, here we go. New York headlines, Rodgers. Rodgers sucks. He's washed. The Bills own this division. Does that not feel like a little bit more important than a normal week one game?
Definitely. Because first of all, it's divisional. Like, I love thinking of old week one games. Do you remember a couple years ago? Week one, weirdest matchup ever. It was Titans. Cardinals, and the Cardinals and Chandler Jones beat the snot out of the Titans. He was like gonna break the single game record that year. The Titans ended up being the number one seed in the AFC. Like, it was, and the Cardinals were just nothing. So the week one is a huge liar. However, in the case of this, yeah, the math is there when it's like, oh my God, the Jets are good this year, and here we are in week 18. And the Bills need to win this game to get the division crown because they lost week one in September. Of course, it's huge. And the media of it is just massive because it's a two-barreled thing, Will, where it's if Rodgers wins and he plays well, it's rock and roll. Here we go. And somebody call Namath because we're getting another trophy. If they lose, like, what if they lose like 34-16? It's like, it's disaster. Why did we do this? Go back to the darkness retreat. Because the other thing, the two-barreled thing, is everyone's also going to be watching the Packers who open against the Bears. And if Jordan Love wins and beats Justin Fields, it's like, oh my God, now Rodgers looks really bad. But then it's like, if Jordan Love sucks and Rodgers is great, it's just so many things to dig into. Like, they're all inexorably linked. And Jets Bills is like, that's an incredible, incredible game. And I'll finish with like, all right, so I was talking to Josh last week and he's like, impossibly eyes on the prize about the schedule. He just does his thing where he says, I say to him, all right, this is a stock question. It's not an interesting question, but I just asked it because the schedule came out that day. Schedule comes out, or it was coming out that night. Schedule comes out. What's the first thing that you look at, Josh? And I'm thinking he's going to say, all right, when's the bye week? You know, when's the Thursday night? Or what's what all the athletes say? And he just goes, week one. It's all I look at is week one. Week one. It's all I look at. And I go, what do you mean? He goes, that's the only one that matters. You know, that's that one game at a time. He's going into that stuff. So he didn't know that that was going to be the week one matchup. Then that night he finds out, sure enough, it's Bills Jets. And so it's like, yeah, dude, you better be looking at week one because you don't want to start with a loss to your buddy Rodgers. It's a great game.
No, it's look, it's 9/11. It's Monday Night Football. The Jets have it's the first time they played in prime time on 9/11 since that infamous Cowboys Gandolfini meme, and they block punt on Sunday Night Football. It's the last time they've played on Sunday Night Football. That was 2011. Yep. So not an ideal time frame. I wanted to ask you, you obviously have Josh and some of these guys on the show, and then we got a couple fun ones.
Yeah.
Does it not feel like he's in a year where there is actually a lot of pressure on a Josh Allen? I know Tua's got pressure because of the injuries and the contract. Rodgers has got pressure, but Rodgers is like 2 years probably from being done. Maybe it's three, maybe it's one. Mm-hmm. Josh is in this weird spot where he probably could win MVP pretty easily. He also could have the questions of like, oh, this guy doesn't get it done in the playoff, which is, this is what's going to happen. Let's be realistic. If the Bills go 9-8 and barely get in the playoffs, he doesn't look good. There's all these questions of like, oh my God, Josh out. Don't you feel like this is a kind of a big year for him and the Bills in general, just with new guy in town and all this different stuff we talked about?
I think it's a huge year for a couple of reasons. Josh is in that category, like a few rare guys where they're not going to lose their job and they're paid long term and they're the franchise, but it still feels like you kind of have to get it done. Like I look at Dak the same way. Dak's got the massive contract and they love him and he's a very good player. But it's like eventually, Dak, what kind of pressure is on you? Just eventually you have to do something, or we just sit here and twiddle our thumbs. I also think if you want to get into the meat and potatoes of the Bills, so there was no breakup with Stephon Diggs. That was never going to happen. Jordan Poyer comes back. You didn't think that was going to happen. Micah Hyde is healthy. So they have their two safeties who were dominant 2 years ago. Vaughn will be back. They draft a new toy in the first round. They get rid of Motor Singletary, who was like the most average player you could put back there. Nice guy, but just nothing. Not a special guy. Now it's going to be more James Cook, and it's going to be Damien, who got from the Patriots. Like they have a whole bunch of toys. They brought the band back. Trey White's going to be better. And so it's like, well, this, I don't want to say this is the last crack at it, but after this year, it starts to be some new, really big pieces that come in. And the last part of it is, there will not be a series of unfortunate events this year for the Bills like there were last year. And they don't really talk about it much, but the idea of what they went through with DeMar and tragedy and weather and just terrible things, that was kind of built in as like, well, that really sucked how much you had to deal with. And you kind of even weren't there for that Bengals playoff loss. They're not going to have that this year. So yes, Josh is under pressure. Yes, he has the toys to do it. Everybody came back, and you're not going to have the biggest story in the world, which is one of your players having going through a terrible thing. It's just going to be football, God willing. So yeah, that's pressure.
Yeah. And then last kind of more football question was to a couple of fun ones.
Yeah.
I feel the answers on the pod last week. And he's like, he asked me this. And then every single time I go on anything, what is considered like success or failure for this Rodgers Jets regime? I think there's two parts. I'll pose it in two ways and you can answer it. Cause it's otherwise the answers are, it's stupid. If he only plays 1 year, what's considered success? And then if he plays multiple 2 or 3 years, I guess what's considered success? Because I feel like there are different things. If he's only here 1 year, you have a little higher expectations than if there's 2 or 3 year project.
All right. If I am a Jets fan and I let's say there's an offer on the table for how this year is going to go, am I going to say deal or no deal? And that offer is, 10-7, second place in the division. You beat the Sean Payton Broncos in the wild card round, and you lose to the Ravens 31-20 in the divisional. That's the deal on the table. I'm taking it. I have a 10-win season. We're in the playoffs. We won a playoff game, and we showed up and lost to a good team in the divisional. I'm taking it, but maybe that's like a weak take because it's like, why did we bring Rodgers in here to go to the divisional round? A lot of people can go to the divisional round, but Will, I'm taking 10-7 in a playoff win. Are you?
Yeah, I'm taking it. I think
you're taking it.
My expectation is, I think the divisional round's the minimum bar here.
Okay.
I think if you win a playoff game, you either host a playoff game, which they haven't done in 22 years, or you win a playoff game, you're back in the playoffs. That roster's now been in the playoffs. They've won a playoff game, no matter who the quarterback is in 24. This roster is kind of ready to roll. I just don't think, I think you cannot be a 7 seed, 9-8, stumble into the playoffs, a la like last year's Packers, and get smoked 42-20 by whoever. Like, that's not, because then they could have done that last year. If Mike White stays healthy, like, they probably could have made the playoffs at 9-8 last year, right?
Like, but hold on. I like Field. What did Field say? I want to hear what his answer
was. Field said at least the conference title game.
Okay, good.
So he said if they don't win a Super Bowl, they have to at least be in the conference title game or in the conversation multiple years, which I don't disagree with, honestly. Like, this is a high pay. They're paying Rodgers. Woody Johnson in cash is giving Rodgers $108 million the next 2 years.
Oh, my God.
He's going to give Quinnen Williams in cash another $50 or $60
million. Yeah, yeah.
This offseason. Like, they're giving a lot of these guys, and they're not paying any of their star guys other than Quinnen and Mosley. So, like, Garrett's on a rookie. Like, I don't know. This is the time to do it. I don't think Super Bowl expectations are fair, though. It's like one and done. They have to win the title. I just don't think that's – maybe it's what people want, but I don't think it's fair. And, like, with Patrick Mahomes being there, if the Chiefs weren't there, I'd feel a little differently. But they've hosted the AFC title game 5 years in a row, right? Like, well, you can't
– I think Rodgers is going to be up to the task. If we're talking about them in the title game or Super Bowl, it's because the other guys became stars. And I don't mean, like, Instagram stars or media stars like Sauce Gardner is. Like – a real, real star. Like, he becomes like a Jalen Ramsey type player every week. And Wilson turns into Jefferson. And, like, it's just they all blow up because there's just too many damn sharks in that AFC. Like, there's too many killers. It's back to your original point about, dude, Rodgers, wouldn't you like a matchup right now against, like, Mitch Trubisky and, like, Christian Ponder? Doesn't that feel nice? And old Stafford, you can beat him most of the time. Like, you're really jumping into the shallow end head first here. It's tough. So, I don't know. It's going to be brutal, man.
Yeah. I think it'll be very interesting. They start. They'll get tested early. He owns the Cowboys. I mean, it's –
he does.
For whatever reason, other than the Bears, I'm not sure he hates a team more than Dallas. Gets them week two. I think that'll be fun. That's going to be a must-see team. I'm kind of
is
shocked.
That week two? Jets, week two. Cowboys?
They open. They go at home, Buffalo, in Dallas. Then they come back for New England. Oh, they're home against the Chiefs, at Denver, home against Philly, then the Giants. That's their first seven. But the good news is they finish with Houston at home, Atlanta at home, New England, someone else that sucks, and Cleveland. So they're in an interesting spot. I want to ask you one thing about, honestly, like the Good Morning. I like to – we talked about this last time. Obviously, the cast of cast, it's not the right word.
Cast, yes, that's
the crew.
That's
the fine. Crew cast of Good Morning Football has obviously changed. Nate's moved on. He's a mega superstar. Kay is doing her own thing on FanDuel. Jamie's been on. Jason's been on the pod. High energy. I feel like you guys are having the most fun you've had since like the first year or two of the show. Am I crazy for saying that?
No, it's been awesome. And it's like high energy is right. And it's no different than just getting a couple new teammates on a team. Like if you're the receiver and you get a new running back that comes in or a new linebacker, and it's just totally a different dynamic that comes in, and it's fresh and it keeps you refreshed. And Jamie talks about fun things, and Jason is just like so smiley and positive and so smart and so sleek. And he's just great. I mean, you had Jason on here and Jamie too. There's not really two easier people to interview, and like they're just very agreeable, and I just love them both. I really do. Especially doing a morning show, man. If you get up at 4 a.m. or whatever, like it really helps if the people are like, "Hey, how you doing?" And they are. It's awesome.
Yeah. No, I wanted to. This is kind of a big picture question, and you don't have to answer if you don't want to. But
I got you.
Obviously, you host a show that's on YouTube. It's a podcast. Good Morning Football is live TV. You live in New York. It's this home of, you know, radio and all these guys, you know, yelling and screaming into a microphone for 4-6 hours a day. Are you – there's, like, the landscape of, like, content, and especially in sports right now, of, like, TV versus – we saw what McAfee is going to do yesterday. Does it, like, intrigue you, or is it, like, there's just so much stuff going on, everyone just has their own lane? Because I feel like radio's kind of dying, but in New York, it's not really.
Yeah.
Podcasts, there's so many of them. So how's that all kind of work? Like, do you think about that stuff often?
Sometimes. You know, with what I do, you really can't intake the morning stuff. And what I mean by that is I used to listen to Howard for years, and I haven't listened to him a single time since I started Good Morning Football 7 years ago. I just can't. And then there's the whole I'm not from New York thing. So I've never listened to Francesa. I've never listened to Michael Kay. I have no idea what those guys are about. And I know they're really successful. And I've met Francesa and I really enjoyed meeting them, but I don't know their shows at all. The Boomers and all that. Like, they have this whole New York thing that I'm just getting up and doing our show in the morning. So I don't ever listen to it. And yet it's the same thing. I don't know if you're into this stuff. Like, I've really never watched Fallon or Kimmel or Corden or Colbert. Those things are on so late. And I guess my parents are watching them, or just people who stay up late. I haven't seen those shows either. So what you end up watching is, like, in terms of media, it's just so much social media. And I wish it wasn't, but it's all here. And right now, I'm sure you feel the same way. The people that you decide to follow and not mute, they're a huge part of your life, because you're constantly looking at their dumb face and their dumb gifts and whatever they do, or their links, whatever they're promoting, and they're looking at yours, you think. So those are massive parts of, like I follow Field Yates. I see the stuff he tweets all the time, and I don't know him. We're not friends. But, like, what a strange amount of time I dedicate to him. That's how I take in my media, and I'm sure people with me the same way.
Yeah, look, it's funny because, I mean, I talk to you a lot, but it's funny. I was like, I at some point see your face at least four times a day.
Yeah,
it's Twitter or TV or whatever.
I don't know.
And then it's like, you know, go to these events. It's the Super Bowl, the Combine, Senior Bowl, and you're like, oh, this douchebag that I've been following for 4 years that I don't even like his takes, but you know what? I guess we ended up becoming friends somehow, and now he probably doesn't like mine. It's a whole interesting thing. Last two questions quickly. Obviously, you've done the rewatchables a lot.
Yeah.
You know, you do that with Simmons. And this is kind of a similar question, but do you watch any of the new movies? Or are you like, I don't know if you tweeted about it. All my brothers watched Air. They loved it. Like, yeah. I have interest in watching it. But do you kind of just find yourself watching the same stuff when you watch movies? Like, because I feel like the new movies are just,
it's a good lot. Question. The same thing happens with music, where you just kind of fall on what you listened to 20 years ago. Like, you and I talk about this. You go and lift and you're like, God, I was in eighth grade when I was listening to this lifting. And I was in eighth grade even. Like, you still listen to the same stuff. The movies, I really try, because A, I love them. I hate that the whole movie theater gone away thing. And I also feel like, I don't know, I want to come on the air on camera and be like, yeah, I saw that movie. So I saw a movie this year that is perfect, new movie, weird, like, little cult following with young people in it. And it was this movie called Fall. Have you seen that thing? These two girls crawl up on a radio tower that's 2,000 feet tall, and they get stuck up there. And it's terrifying. But I really enjoyed it, really. Like, it just scares the crap out of you the whole time that they're going to fall off this thing. And then the ending is really nuts. So I watched that. I will watch Air. It's just, I'm trying to get caught up in Succession and The Last of Us and Mandalorian, and, like, just, it's so much crap. So the movies are usually some of the first things that bite the dust, because they're over 2 hours long. And you're like, I could watch a movie that's 2 hours and 20 minutes, or I could get in two episodes of White Lotus. I guess it's White Lotus. So they go fast.
Yeah, no, look, I feel the same way. First of all, my fiance does not, like, she's watched like maybe 10 total movies in her life. She's all TV.
Oh,
so
my God.
I'm only going to watch TV with her, which means I have to then watch a movie on my own, which takes up, like you said, multiple hours. I like.
What
to
have you seen lately, Will? You got anything new?
Succession. I'm on.
No, I've movies.
Movies. I haven't really watched a lot of movies.
Did you watch Air?
I didn't watch Air yet. My brothers loved it.
I heard it's good.
I heard it's good. I'm going to watch it eventually. Last thing I probably saw in theaters or watched was Top Gun, which was awesome. I don't know. It's a fun movie. Like, I just think it's, I mean, it's not, I wouldn't say fun, but it's like, these movies, like, awesome. I'm kind of more into, like, does this movie entertain me for 30 minutes, for an hour, hour and a half? I don't need the 2.5 hour silent movies. Rapid fire. These are three quick ones. I already know what your answers are going
to
be.
I can't wait. I'm going to try to change them. Go ahead.
Best alcohol drink you've had recently, like, type of drink, best meal you've cooked, either barbecued or made, and best song, like, best workout you've had. What workout did you do?
Best. I mean, they're all good. All the alcohol drinks are good. I don't have a bad one. I only drink 2 days a week.
How do you even choose?
So, my standby is I drink gin martinis, and that's just like, that's my treat for the weekend. But and I know you're thinking I'm going to say Sip Margs margaritas, which are incredible. But I went to a new place for dinner with some friends in Greenwich, which sounds so snobby and obnoxious, but they had like the craziest.
Very, very Will Levis of you.
Yeah. Levis definitely has Greenwich vibes. They had this crazy fire margarita, and I don't mean fire like the kids say. I mean, that's what they called it. And it had like hot salt on the rim. And I mean, the thing was probably 800 calories, and I think I drank five of them. So that was the drink. I don't even know the name of the restaurant. The best food that I've cooked. I'll do the smoker. I love the smoker. I'll do baby backs on the smoker. 3-2-1 ribs. You go 3 hours, 2 hours, 1 hour, 1 hour. Inside story one time, I was posting a lot of Traeger pictures from my smoker. I receive a text message. I'm not making this up. You're going to love this. I receive a text message from Aaron Rodgers, who wants to get into smoking. And he says, I got to get on the Traeger game. The ribs you posted look great. And I'm like, I'll tell you how to do it. He said, email me like the recipe. And I email him the 3-2-1 ribs. It takes 6 hours. He did them. He liked them. I think he had just gotten a machine in his backyard in Wisconsin. This was, I think this might've been during the season. It was. And so he loved them. So I got to share the knowledge with him, and he's like big Star Wars fan. So we were making a lot of like Padawan references, 'cause I was teaching him and all that. I mean, it was great. He's a huge Star Wars dork. And I say that as a compliment, because like he will really only roll with 4 through 6. He doesn't do any of that Anakin stuff, really. He talks about he doesn't watch Mandalorian. And I know people like you and I celebrate the whole thing, but he is hardcore 4 through 6, at least the last time I heard him talk about it. So there's that. And then the last good workout I did.
Yeah, like what'd you hit? Is it chest, back, shoulders?
There's this thing that I have been made to do. And it's called, it's a weirdest name. It's called Turkish get-ups. Do you know what that is? I all right. So it's with kettlebells, and you basically lie on your back and hold the kettlebell up as you would like a chest press. And then you just get up and stand from being flat on your back, and then get back down and get up and back. It messes with your knees. You start sweating, you start aching, and that thing just starts sort of wobbling as it comes down. Turkish get-ups mess up my whole world, man. Terrible.
I'm going to roll with the last. I was at a wedding 2 weeks ago, had some just Honey Jack on the rocks. I'm usually straight tequila. I literally,
is that good?
I mean, yeah, if you want. I mean,
I've never had Honey Jack.
It's good. I mean, it's dangerous, because it literally tastes like, I don't know. It just tastes like honey. Yeah. And then the next morning it's, you feel not as good. I'm straight tequila all the time. So that was a nice change up. Best thing I've made. I don't know. I just got a Blackstone. So I'm excited to kind of try that. What is a
Blackstone?
It's just basically like that, like flat hibachi, like looking grill.
Oh.
So it's just like a flat top, like kind of outside grill. So I'm excited to kind of maybe do a little fried rice, do some nice breakfast.
Are you going to hold it down like our guys at Fuji Mountain?
I'm literally going to just throw on the hat.
Onion volcano, yeah, the heart beating heart.
Yeah, start, yeah. Roll That's the, awesome. I'll start running a business, and then best workout. I'm big into benching and stuff. So, I'll roll with that for now until my shoulders eventually give out, which will happen. But
you're not doing the squat still, are you?
I don't squat over 225 anymore. I won't. I'm barely at all. I just kind of stick to like dumbbells and do like the hacks, like the, you know. I have to do more body weight stuff and get back into running again. So. Good. My knees can only take so much, you know. They got beat up over the years. But obviously, appreciate you as always. I'm sure everyone already was there tuning in. Good Morning Football, Cobb Ranch Basement, weekly. Was it 2 or 3 o'clock?
Yeah, it comes out 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon whenever we get it ready. But thank you for plugging that. Plug now. How close are we getting to the wedding day?
We are 64 days away.
How you feeling?
What the invitations came in today, so I'm feeling nice. Much better. Honeymoon just got booked this morning. Hopefully I don't get murdered in the south of Italy, like in White Lotus. That'll be
that's
ideal.
Where you're going.
Yeah, we're doing south of Italy. Jamie's from Italy, has never been, so that'll be interesting. And then everything else is booked, so now it's just time to lose another 10 pounds. The suit came in. Then we'll be feeling good. We're in the 240s, you know. We're feeling good these days.
I understand. I like that you knew the day. 63 days, you said. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I looked at the calendar and I was like, if my math is wrong, I might get crushed. But I appreciate it as always. Make sure you guys are tuned in. We'll be back later this week. Mike Renner will be on, and we'll talk a little bit more of the Jets draft.